Hi, and welcome to the Cutaneous Connection, a podcast from the staff at Dermatology Times, aiming to provide you with the latest news in dermatology, exclusive interviews with leading industry experts, and a glimpse at what goes on behind the scenes. I'm your host, Emma Andrus. I'm joined by Marty McCary, MD, MPH, FACS, a professor at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine and Carey Business School, a member of the National Academy of Medicine, and a public health and public policy researcher. McCary is also a New York Times bestselling author of Unaccountable: What Hospitals Won't Tell You and How Transparency Can Revolutionize Healthcare, and The Price We Pay: What Broke American Healthcare and How to Fix It. In this episode, McCary discusses the role of physician-led legislative advocacy in healthcare and dermatology, a topic he recently discussed in the keynote speech at the 2023 AADA Legislative Conference in Washington, D.C. earlier this month.
Healthcare is significantly burdened today by a middleman industry which is sieving money out of the system and burdening American businesses and reversing wage growth in the United States for everyday American workers. We have an affordability crisis, and we also have a control problem where physicians have lost control of the system for altruistic reasons. That is, we have been focused on taking care of patients. And this middle industry has developed so many creative ways of pulling money out of the system that we are at a critical juncture now where we have to decide, are we going to continue down this path, or are we going to retake control of healthcare? One of the things I talked about in the conference was how health insurance is sold in America today. Health insurance is sold through an industry of health insurance advisors and consultants, and a universe unto itself, and one that few physicians are aware of. And it's loaded with intermediate steps and kickbacks. Some physicians have been appropriately saying, how can we go direct? Why do we need pharmacy benefit managers to be paid so much? What is truly driving up the cost of drugs? Is it entirely pharmaceutical companies, or is it markups along the way in those medications getting to patients? So we have been told with our broken healthcare system, leave it to the experts. But the truth is that anyone with common sense can observe exactly what's happening. Insurance profits are going through the roof, they're surging, and payments to physicians has been flat for the last 22 years when adjusted for inflation. So if everyday businesses and American workers are paying a lot more for health insurance profits are going through the roof, and doctors are being paid the same or even less after adjusting for inflation over the last two decades, it's pretty clear what's happening. And the underlying issues that are driving up the cost of healthcare that are not being talked about, that need to be talked about, are number one, administrative waste, and number two, clinical waste, overuse, overutilization, overtreatment. We have an appropriateness crisis in medicine. And that appropriateness crisis is one that we are addressing, where there are doctor-led movements now to reduce low-value care. We got once peek into the appropriateness crisis with the opioid experience. Opioids are but one example of how we massively overutilized, overprescribed, with good intentions, a medication that for which there was bad science. So as we advance the scientific method in the medical literature, we are rediscovering, or we are discovering for the first time, that it is a subgroup of patients that may intervene, that may benefit best from our interventions. That sometimes less is better. That in other situations, it's best to be aggressive and intervene early. Scientific literature is teaching us how to deliver more precision medicine, how to be more precise in how we practice. And if there's one theme of the medical literature in the last 10 years, it is that a subgroup of patients are benefiting from our interventions, not the entire group that are receiving them. And so we talked at the conference at how the giant recommendation to prescribe aspirin for every adult in the world was recently rescinded, how the dogma that children should avoid all peanut products in the first 3 years of life was reversed after 15 years when a proper study was conducted instead of relying on the opinion of a few so-called experts. You know, we have blind spots in medicine where clinical waste can be addressed. For decades, it was believed that saturated fat caused heart disease for over 50 years. Turns out that when the appropriate studies were done, it was simply not true. We thought that opioids were not addictive based on dogma. When the proper studies were done, we learned decades later, after a lot of harm, that it was not true. We were told by the, you know, experts that kids should avoid peanuts. Turns out avoidance doesn't prevent allergies, it causes them. So we have to ask, what are our blind spots today? What interventions require rigorous scientific evaluation? And where can we address the perverse incentives intrinsic in the marketplace? The American College of Mohs Surgery did a phenomenal job addressing low-value care in their field, and I was privileged to be a part of that effort through a quality improvement collaborative that they led. They saved $92 million by reducing low-value care through a simple peer-to-peer benchmarking program that was confidential, that was led by experts in the field and by dermatologists in the field, and was based on courtesy and collegiality. That is, doctors were shown where they stood on the bell curve around a physician-endorsed appropriateness measure. Outliers, when they saw where they stood on the bell curve, auto-corrected their behavior. There were no expensive consultants. There was no legislation. There was no lawsuits involved. This is a great example of a homegrown physician-run initiative to reduce clinical waste. So again, two big buckets, administrative waste and clinical waste. Good things are happening on the front of reducing clinical waste. That's the natural progression of scientific discovery. But we have to be more proactive in reducing administrative waste. Policymakers in Washington, D.C. have a distorted perception of the drivers of healthcare costs. And we have to correct that by pointing out how the middleman industry has a gravitational pull on the wages of workers, on money that originates from the wages of workers. So I think we have a critical, you know, and what I tried to do with my talk was position this opportunity and show some of the early successes and how we can take back control of healthcare. A lot of it was based on my book, The Price We Pay. I've written two New York Times bestselling books, The Price We Pay and Unaccountable. The Price We Pay came out a couple of years ago and outlines how we can fix and how disruptors and physician entrepreneurs are disrupting problems of administrative and clinical waste.
So when you're looking at those highlights and those takeaways, why do you feel it's so important for clinicians and people in the dermatology space in particular to get involved in legislative advocacy and healthcare advocacy?
If we don't get involved in public policy, we will be relegated to becoming civil servants in a system that is will be massively bloated, and the high cost of healthcare will be a bigger and bigger barrier to care, widening disparities in access to care. Physician voices will be downplayed, as they are in the UK, when physicians who are paid the equivalent of $80,000 threaten to go on strike, not because of their low pay, but because of the support staff and facilities that they find problematic. They're simply ignored and treated as civil servants. We're going down this dangerous road, and it's in direct conflict with our great heritage in medicine, where Jonas Salk invented a polio vaccine and donated it to humanity, where Benjamin Rush co-founded a hospital in Philadelphia to take care of anybody regardless of their race or ability to pay. Physicians have a tremendous heritage of being flexible, taking care of those in need, adapting both the care and the fee to one's individual situation, to customizing care and individualizing treatments, to being charitable. But now, with the risk of corporate medicine treating physicians like cogs on a wheel or factory workers, we're losing this great spirit of a calling to take care of the community. So we have to be involved. Everybody else is. In Washington, D.C., members of Congress hear from every major powerful stakeholder. They hear from the pharma industry. They hear from the insurance industry. They hear from the hospital association. But one voice they do not hear from, a voice that does not have a big lobby, is that of the patient. We as physicians need to speak on their behalf. As frontline clinicians proximate to the struggles that individual patients experience, we have to be their voice. The reality is, as physician payments continue to decline after adjusting for inflation, patients will directly be affected. Medical dermatology will be more sparsely available in the United States, and fewer people will go into it. There's a misperception that we have too many dermatologists on. The reality is, we have not only an insufficient number for the need, but we have a distribution problem in the United States. So sure, there may be too many dermatologists in a particular urban area in the United States, but when you look at vulnerable populations geographically distributed in the United States, we have a massive distribution imbalance. If that problem is ignored, the people who suffer are those who have no voice. It is difficult to get real reform in Washington, D.C., but if we can speak on behalf of the patient, there is still a very high respect for the American physician. In no other profession can you put a knife to someone's skin within minutes of meeting them, and that's because physicians still have a tremendous amount of respect in this country, and we have to use that position to advocate for our patients.
For more Dermatology Times content, from articles to videos and podcasts, visit www.dermatologytimes.com.